Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins, brought to you by Discover St. Louis Park. Kind of a unique show tonight as we are on the road. In fact, I'm sitting in Cedar Rapids tonight, home of the Colonels and home of tonight's hot stove stop, caravan stop, and also home of new Colonels manager Tommy Watkins. And we're going to have a chance to talk with Tommy here to kick things off later. We'll hear from Byron Buxton and Trevor May, who've been locked up on a bus with me for the course of the past 3 days. But we start with Tommy Watkins, who's back in Cedar Rapids, where he served as a hitting coach with the Twins organization a couple of years ago and now assumes the manager's role. And Tommy, I think a lot of folks are excited. I remember when you made your major league debut, how excited everyone in the organization was. Terry Ryan specifically came down in person to make sure he was there to give you the word. I feel kind of like a lot of folks in the organization feel that way about you getting the chance to manage, and I know you're excited too. How did this come about?
I am. I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity, for one. And, ever since I started coaching, I think I wanted to manage. It was just a matter of the right time. And, you know, talking to Brad a couple of years ago, he thought I was ready, but there wasn't a job open. And with Jeff Smith's promotion, it opened up a job for me. So I've been blessed to be where I am today, and I'm looking forward to it.
You know, watching your coaching career, I feel like it's very similar to your playing career. I mean, you just kept grinding away at it every level. You were versatile. You learned, you added new skills. Whatever they asked you to do, you did it, and you did it really well. And it resulted in a major league career for you. And I feel like that's kind of the way you've gone about it, whether it's been in Beloit to start or here or at AA, fitting in a lot of different ways on different staffs.
Yeah, you know, I just try to be a student of the game. You know, no matter how long we in the game, I think we can still learn. And, as a player, I was the same way. I tried to take things from, you know, just watching and listening to everybody. The same thing as a coach, just trying to learn every year and, you know, working with different people, taking different things from them. And, it's worked out for me, so looking forward to it.
For all your skills, and there are many, I think there's a reason they call you the mayor in Fort Myers, and that's because you have ridiculous people skills. You have an ability to connect with people from any and all walks of life and do it with a smile. And I would think as a manager, you can collect baseball expertise, but that skill you can't collect necessarily. And it seems to me to be one of the more valuable attributes a skipper could have.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that will help me is being able to relate to different, you know, people. As a player, you know, I've been in every level. A lot of time I was the 25th man on the team. So I think I know what it takes to, you know, to persevere in this game. And I don't know, I just think managing people and being able to get along with people and, you know, getting people to play for you, I think is a big part of it. So hopefully to help out in this role.
Sometimes the hitting coach in the minor league becomes kind of the friend, the guy they go to when guys are having a tough time. The manager sometimes has to keep a little more distance. Is that something you're aware of or you're concerned about, the difference, as they say, sliding those 12 inches over into the big chair?
Yeah, it is. As a hitting coach, I always try to, make myself available. Not that I won't as a manager, but I always felt like I had to be the person that they can come to and talk to. As a manager, I still want to be someone that they can come talk to, but there is a fine line, and you know, you kind of got to be the bad guy at times, but great staff, I think that helps a lot. So with the guys I'm going to be with, it will help out a lot. So looking forward to being the bad guy at times, but also just trying to get the guys to play.
The other thing I noticed about specifically coaching, obviously you played for a lot of different coaches and managers, but you coach with a lot of different styles. Jake is very different than Doug. They're different personalities, and they come at things in a different way, and they're both incredibly good at what they do and in making young men better, baseball players better men. Do you pull from both of them in addition to yourself and your own skills as you look to kind of create your own managerial persona?
Yeah, I think I'll pull from the guys that I've worked with, Jake and Doug, and also I think I'll pull from, you know, guys that you play for. A lot of different personalities. Jake is laid back. He doesn't say too much. And Doug is, you know, different. He gets after a little bit.
Not laid back,
yeah. But both guys are very good at what they do. And I learned a lot from them the last 4 years coaching under them.
Tommy Watkins is our guest, and he's here in Cedar Rapids tonight, where he'll be managing the Colonels this year. You obviously know the market. You're here as a visiting player and coach, and you're here as a coach with a very successful Colonels club. One thing we know about Colonels fans, they want the Colonels to win, and they have been spoiled because this has been a great club over the course of the last 5 years, and I would assume that's your intention to make them competitive once again.
Yeah, tough shoes to follow. You know, Jake made it to the playoffs 4 years in a row, had good teams every year, and I know the people here like to win. You know, hopefully we just put a good product on the field, play hard, get after it, and have some fun.
Now, fun's the name of the game, and you've always been able to bring that smile to the ballpark. Let's get away from the ballpark now. What else is Tommy Watkins up to? Obviously, we know where you are when you're in uniform during the summer. You do a lot of work with Instructs and other things in Fort Myers, which is where you're from. But what else is going on in your life?
You know, just down in Fort Myers for the off season. Been going to the park every day since Instructional League, working with the rehab guys, and now we got some guys coming in early. We had a strength camp last week, had a group of guys in, and now getting close to time for spring training to be people coming in every week now. So I just be down there in Fort Myers helping the guys get ready for spring training.
You look like you could still play. So are you getting some workouts in while you're down there too?
Yeah, you know, I used to, last couple of years, I lost a lot of weight in the offseason. Started playing basketball this year, so it kind of helped out a lot. I'm no good, but it's been fun just running around and getting in shape again.
Before we let you go and we move on, we mentioned Byron's here tonight, and you were his hitting coach here in Cedar Rapids, and what a special summer that was, because Byron really took off. That's where he found kind of his identity as a professional, and you were a big part of that, and he credits you and the environment here. What a team you guys had here, top to bottom, with that development. Forgetting his skills, they're obvious. People can see that he can do things that most human beings will never be able to do. What about the other part, the aptitude, the ability to learn, the willingness to learn, the competitiveness, the things you can't necessarily see unless you're with him there every single day the way you were?
Great guy. He came to the park every day to work. His talent is unreal. He was fun to watch. I felt like a fan most days once the game started just watching him. But, you know, one thing I just try to get him to do is be an athlete and be himself. And he did a good job of that here. And I'm looking forward to watching him play this year.
Now, you'll be busy watching your Colonels as well. Tommy Watkins, our guest, kicking off this caravan edition of Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins. We'll step aside. Mark Janowski's got kind of an update, news and notes, what's going on this weekend. Twins Fest, going to be a big weekend at Target Field. And then we'll catch up with Byron Buxton and Trevor May while Tommy takes the questions from the folks here in Cedar Rapids. This is Deep Cuts, and this is your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins. This is kind of an on-the-road version, so we're ad-libbing it a bit. As we are on the road, and I am currently rolling along the highways and byways of Minnesota with Trevor May and Byron Buxton. And, guys, second caravan for each of you. This is kind of a unique deal. And I'll start with you, Trevor. Last year you were out. Did you really have any concept of what this caravan was all about and the wide breadth of Twins fans geographically as well as the different types of communities you'd visit before you went out?
I had no idea, to be honest, but it's a lot of fun just going out into the local lodges and the restaurants and just seeing kind of all your fans that you don't necessarily get to see at that Target Field on a regular basis. So it's important to go out and go to them when they're not able to come to you all the time. And it's a lot of fun. You see a lot of people who, you know, regardless of how the season has gone or went last year, they're always optimistic for this year, and they're behind you. So, you know, without them, we don't have jobs.
Byron Buxton, you were out last year, and you learned a very important lesson as evidenced by the fact that you brought boots and a winter coat this year.
I did. Last year, you know, wasn't expecting it to be as cold as it was, and caught me by surprise. So this year, I definitely made sure I came prepared, and just wanted to come out here and have fun like I did last year.
Guys, we end up seeing a lot of different types of groups, be it maybe elderly folks who can't get out much, or a lot of schools. The night stops are a little bit different. Is there any particular group that surprises you with the type of questions you receive or the type of energy that they have? I'll let Trevor take the first pass.
You know, especially last night, like you said, it was a group of people that have loved baseball and have had the same banquet for 77 straight years, and it's groups like that that like make doing what we do so much fun, because people are so ardent about it just as much as we are. The types of questions you get, and even when we go to schools, I'm surprised a lot by like the depth of the questions being asked and how kids actually want to know kind of like the mental hardship you go through a season, and whether or not, I was asked earlier this morning whether or not you doubt yourself when you were playing baseball ever. And it's, it's struggles the kids are going through on a day-to-day basis, and we all share that stuff, and it's important to not look like Superman out there, like nothing ever goes wrong for you, because, you are just a human being, and kind of it was a little surprising, but I really enjoyed answering that question.
Yeah, great question. We've gotten a lot of them, and we get to visit spots that, as you said, maybe aren't the largest in terms of population, but you can see how excited they are, what it means to a whole community for the bus to pull into the station. And Byron, one thing that I think surprises fans maybe about you is when you go into a small school, small town, that's kind of your comfort zone, because you're going home in a sense, although it's a little bit colder maybe in this particular part of the world.
You're right. Smaller schools like they have here in Minnesota are definitely a lot more like my hometown. It's a lot more easy for me to see like what they're doing, how things are similar to my hometown, and I can relate to how some of the schools are up here and feel like when I was their age, like, oh, I know I couldn't do this because of certain conditions, and it's kind of cool, because when I was small, I never really thought about the things that they're asking me now. I never thought about that as a kid, and now I'm sitting here and I look back at it and I'm like, man, I would have said the same thing 10 years ago that they just asked me. So it's kind of cool to think about that too.
The funny thing to me is we just walked away from a group of high school kids, and they're not that much younger than you guys are. And I think about, Byron, you were sitting in those bleachers like 5-6 years ago.
I was, and like, time just flies by. Like, I feel like I was a senior yesterday and got drafted, and now I'm in a big league uniform on Twins Caravan, going around meeting the Twins fans that can't come up to Minneapolis CS play.
It's a road version, a bus version of Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins, Trevor May and Byron Buxton. We're rolling on what they call the southeast leg of the caravan all week long. And let's talk a little bit of more specific non-caravan stuff. And Trevor, a nice little tidy off-season for you. You got married, you bought a house, you built a music studio. Other than that, you weren't really very busy at all.
No, I had barely anything going on. Besides those things that filled all my time. So, but yeah, I also started cooking a little bit. Every off season I get super excited, only for the reason that having a time off to unwind, but also pursue a bunch of hobbies that I really enjoy doing, and then kind of figuring out how to use those things to kind of unwind during the season when I need to take my mind off the field a little bit. And it's healthy. Any player will tell you that. So it's valuable for me, and I really enjoy it.
More importantly, you got healthy, and let's talk about results. Last year, the year didn't go the way that anyone in the organization wanted. Big part of that was health. This is a young team with talent that has to stay healthy, and you for now are probably about as healthy as you've been in a long time.
Yes, that about last year at this time, I felt a little awkward getting ready to go. Maybe I didn't fix problems as well as I should have, but I was gonna go out and throw and be on the mound as much as possible. Regardless, this year I feel like have pretty good grasp of kind of just. It was just a series of bad habits, and it's just going to be an ongoing process of making sure that I have the good habits again. And it's just like anything else. It's just these habits caused me to be in a little bit more pain than other habits have caused me to do. So it's staying on top of it, and it's just like anything else. As you play the game, little things come up where they don't feel great, and you just have to work through them. And that's kind of where your routine comes from. So it's just adding a little bit of extra stuff in my routine for maintenance. As I start throwing here, I'm feeling better and better. So.
Myron, you had a good end of the season, and it was a learning experience for you, team-wise and individually. This team lost a lot of games, everyone knows it, but yet the talent, you look at the young talent that's on this club, and you guys have won everywhere you've been, and now that group is in the major leagues with a little bit of dirt on your spikes. Do you feel like this is a team primed for major improvement this season?
Most definitely. I mean, with the young group of guys that we have and the veteran guys like Perkins and even Trevor May got 10 years now of professional baseball, like, he knows a lot about it. So he's a veteran guy, and he helps out, like, our young pitchers in the bullpen or even our starters. And some teams don't have the opportunity to have those guys to help them out during the season. And, you know, just the young group that we have here, we all been together since rookie ball. We play together, we win together, and we really never failed. So, you know, it's going to be tough to see how we're going to do, but it's also going to be fun because we know in the future that it's going to be very bright and we're very talented and we're ready to go.
This is Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins, brought to you by Discover St. Louis Park. We're discovering the outer part of the state down into Iowa on the Twins Winter Caravan with Trevor May and Byron Buxton. We'll step aside when we come back to Deep Cuts. It's Three Cuts right here on your home for Twins baseball. Chris Atterbury welcoming you back to a rolling edition of Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins. As always, we like to end with Three Cuts, where we have our guests take a swing at some questions that maybe veer away from the traditional baseball. We'll start with Trevor May. And Trevor, you, in addition to being a musician, in addition to being a baseball player, also a bit of a gamer. And I got to ask you, hypothetically, you're heading on to Twitch to do a little gaming or stream some gaming, which you like to do. People who follow you on various social media platforms are familiar with this. And you're going to choose three of your teammates to play your favorite game. Pick the game and then tell me which teammates you want to play with.
Ooh.
Trevor May finally at a loss for words.
Okay. My favorite game right now is Overwatch, right? I know Byron Buxton plays, so Buck can play with me. Comes to other guys, I'd have to say Tyler Duffy plays first-person shooter, so I think he would enjoy it. Dang, who's another first-person shooter guy?
Maybe Rogers.
Ooh, Rogers. Maybe. Rogers likes playing video games, too. I'll take Buxton, Rogers, and then Duffy on my team.
All right, there we have it. Now, that's gaming, and we talk about social media, and people follow you, and they can kind of tag along to your various adventures in that realm. Byron, for you on social media, it seems to be candy, because everywhere we go, people have candy waiting for you. If they weren't waiting with a bag of Skittles, all the Skittles in the world are gone. Marshawn ate all of them. What would be your runner-up?
Runner-up would have to be Reese's Pieces. I guess because that's my dad's favorite candy. Like, I remember saying that I want to be just like him, and it was down to candy, to I wanted to wear the same socks as he did. Like, it was crazy.
Better to wear socks like your dad or better to wear socks like Trevor wears?
Trevor's socks are pretty cool now. I can pull those off.
Final question for you guys here on Three Cuts. It's a rolling edition, a caravan edition of Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins. We got a pitcher, we got a hitter. It's a great little combination, so I'm going to start with you, Byron. You're facing Trevor May. What do you need to do? First of all, have you ever faced him? And secondly, what do you need to do to be successful against Trevor May when he's at his best?
I haven't faced Trevor, but me playing center field and watching him throw, I definitely would have to lay off the changeup and the curveball. Just the fact that not many people have the changeup that he has. Like when he said he was younger, he used to throw fastball changeup, and his changeup moves from plate to side of the plate, and that's just a tough pitch to hit nowadays.
All right, so he likes the changeup. You got to get Byron Buxton out. He's got some pretty quick hands. You've never faced him. What are you going to do?
Throw the changeup.
But he's not going to swing at it. So now what do you have to do? What makes him such a tough out?
Bucks, he's one of those guys, and he's one of those, like, maybe five of them in the big leagues that for me specifically, I have to go in on hitters in order to be successful against them. But I'd put him in the classification with the Mookie Betts's and the Xander Bogarts, where you feel like you need to go in, but their hands are so quick that you actually can't go in there with any success. The best case scenario you're going to have is a foul ball. And so basically stay away and hope things go well. I hope he doesn't get in a gap because he's probably going to touch home before you touch home. And yeah, I mean, you just can't get in there. And then evidently throw the changeup for strikes because he won't swing at it. And
yeah, that sounds like the key, apparently, for Trevor to get Byron out. We appreciate Trevor and Byron joining us again as we roll through. I think we're somewhere between Wabasha and Rochester here on a caravan edition of Deep Cuts with the Minnesota Twins. I appreciate Gino for all the work he's doing back in the studio anchoring this edition. For Tommy Watkins, Trevor, and Byron, my name's Chris. We'll see you next week on your home for Twins baseball.